This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
We've recently seen an increase in aggression and discrimination towards the trans community, and it comes at a time when we're also seeing more media coverage of trans issues. So what role is the media playing in fueling this anti-trans sentiment? Here to chat to us about this is Jeremy Wiggins, the CEO of Transcend Australia. Jeremy, welcome to Joy Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Jeremy, why are we seeing an increase in hate and discrimination towards trans people at the moment?
There's a number of reasons for that, particularly the role of the media in propelling a lot of anti-trans disinformation. So disinformation is where groups or individuals deliberately spread information that is not fact or evidence-based to generate fear or to propel a particular agenda. And unfortunately, what trans Australians are experiencing right now, we're at the centre of what is coming up to be one of the main issues to develop a power base politically by a number of political parties or politicians. And that's being fueled by a number of medical providers or researchers or lobby groups that do not want trans people to exist, essentially. And that's what we've been finding more and more recently in the mainstream news, is that there's news pieces that focus on trying to undermine the experiences of trans people with disinformation.
I mean, not wanting trans people to exist is a pretty, it's a pretty strong thing for someone to want. What impact is that having on the trans community when you hear statements like that?
Well, I think in general, the trans community would be feeling as though our stories are not being told by us, or even told in a way that's respectful, sensitive, or accurate. So that's already creating distress for trans community members in not feeling like our lives and our experiences are being accurately reflected. But the information that's being put out there is also really dangerous. So stats and stories are being manipulated to make things sound like, for example, the detransitioner episode of Channel 7 on Spotlight, incorrectly put out there that there's thousands of trans kids transitioning and regretting it, which is completely untrue. And with that link also to, say, for example, there is a segue here with the drag story time events and the same sorts of groups protesting to shut down that, as well as trying to infiltrate the hospitals or medical networks or healthcare associations that would be supporting us. These same groups are trying to infiltrate those spaces to stop trans people having access to healthcare. And that's the ultimate goal here, is to stop access to gender-affirming healthcare so that trans young people are not able to get the healthcare that they need.
Jeremy, let's talk about, you said that this particular program said thousands of trans people were regretting their decision. Where do they claim that they get that sort of information from and those statistics?
They haven't backed up or fact-checked those claims at all. And if they were fact-checked by an independent agency, it would be found to be untrue and that there is no evidence available to suggest that that claim is a credible claim at all. The concept, I guess, of detransitioning is really nuanced. There are many trans people that may stop their medication at certain times and then restart it, and even multiple times, and it's really led by their needs. But in the eyes of the anti-trans movement, even a trans person making an informed choice to change their medication or to stop their medication, the anti-trans movement would refer to that as a detransitioner, but that person may still be trans. And the reason why they're using this argument is because they want to put fear in parents' minds or medical practitioners' minds that one day someone might change their mind about their healthcare or potentially regret it. And the evidence that is available suggests that only about 1% of people who may have a gender-affirming surgery may potentially regret the surgery, but that's an incredibly low rate in terms of medical or surgery regret.
And so these people might be stopping their medication for medical reasons, for example, whether it might be side effects, whatever the reason. And what's happening is the media are latching onto that and saying that that is part of this group that are rejecting or regretting becoming trans.
That's correct. So, you know, there are trans masculine people who are on testosterone therapy that may decide to stop it because they have the ability to get pregnant and want to get pregnant.
Mm.
And for a whole range of other reasons, some people may just want to have a break from being on like a medication regime, or they might have financial difficulties and not be able to afford the medication. All of these really valid stories that have so much more complexity and background information to them aren't as simple as funneling everyone into this concept of detransitioning. And our experiences as trans people are being co-opted and weaponized by the anti-trans movement against us through large media platforms, which we don't have access to in the same way. And unfortunately, what that's doing is it's getting out there in the mainstream narratives, and average Australians that don't know any better think that we're being harmed by the medical industry, which is not true.
Something that surprised me is, I mean, you see people like Pauline Hanson, for example, talking about puberty blockers, and I often wonder, how does it feel when someone who is not qualified to talk about medical treatments is spouting knowledge as though they know what's best for someone else? How does that make you feel?
Well, I'm very frustrated about that because as someone who does have a lot of knowledge on the area, we don't get the same platforms. But also, I feel it's unethical to mislead the general public with false information. And there are also doctors, and doctors are a powerful group of people because they're highly respected. But unfortunately, there are also medical doctors who are not experts in trans healthcare, who have been featured on some of these programs, who are also spreading disinformation and making false claims, even about their colleagues who are really well respected in this space. And this is a very current and live issue. For example, Senator Alex Antic just last week submitted a bill to the Australian Parliament proposing to restrict healthcare to all trans young people under the age of 18. So effectively, there's a bill currently in the Australian Parliament proposing to ban access to healthcare for Australian trans young people. And what we're seeing in Australia is some fringe politicians who are watching over in the US at some of the far-right extreme states that have successfully done this in the legislature, and are looking to copy that and bring that over here to Australia. And simply it's because they get media attention, they get their names out there in the media more, they get PowerPoints in the politics. But at the heart of this is access to healthcare is a human right, and trans young people deserve to have access to healthcare. And there is significant evidence that shows restricting access to healthcare drives poor mental health outcomes. So this is really about ensuring that young people have access to healthcare, which we consider to be life-saving care.
I find it alarming that we're even talking about potentially restricting healthcare to anyone. Doesn't matter who they are. I mean, that is not something that we should be even contemplating. We're chatting with Jeremy Wiggin, CEO of Transcend Australia, about the media's campaign against trans kids. Jeremy, just on gender-affirming healthcare, what's the biggest misunderstanding when it comes to this that is being perpetrated throughout the mainstream media? What's the biggest misunderstanding?
Well, the biggest misunderstanding for particularly trans young people under the age of 18 is that they're having surgeries at gender-affirming surgeries. This bill that Senator Alex Antic has put forward has a whole list of medical procedures or surgical procedures that nobody under the age of 18 would even be having. The other misconception and misunderstanding is that all trans people require, need, or are seeking medical intervention. That's just not true. Not all trans people need or want to medically affirm who they are with any medical interventions. But the entire narrative is being spun that trans young people, very, very young people, are having irreversible medical interventions, which is also not true. So other misconceptions are that puberty blockers are irreversible. That's not true. They are reversible. So there's a lot of misinformation out there. It's really easy to mislead the general public who don't know any better. But what the truth is that medical professionals working in this space in the children's services and the hospitals are so passionate and committed and really care for their patients. And the patients and their families want what's best for their kids and are often really desperately seeking healthcare and are on long wait lists. And the last thing that they need is an Australian media storm or a political storm using their experiences to gain political points. So what we're asking is for people to jump onto our webpage, transcend.org.au/campaigns, and sign our petition to tell the Australian politicians to not ban access to gender-affirming healthcare, because what we know is, from the evidence, that it saves lives.
Definitely. You mentioned earlier that trans people are already at risk of poorer mental health. You know, what impact does all this negative media coverage have on someone who already may be experiencing, you know, mental health issues?
Oh, it's a significant driver of poor mental health. There's a couple of things going on here. Not only if it's in the media so much, and we know that there was even a protest in Melbourne on the weekend, an anti-trans protest. We saw earlier in the year in March Nazis on the steps of Parliament House with really horrible slogans. This activity in the media, it drives hate towards trans people. So trans people are going to be increasingly subjected to slurs on the street or treatment. The other thing that it does, it emboldens people, even people who are doctors, to treat patients poorly or to refuse to use their name or pronoun or even to refuse treatment altogether. So all of this systemically and in the environment around trans people is making it more hostile. Naturally, it's going to impact people's mental health, just like anybody else's mental health would be impacted by being treated so poorly. So we're at risk here of seeing an increased rate of self-harm and suicidality if we don't act to stand behind trans people. And I know that our communities do that for each other when there's a crisis, and we've seen the history of that in community-controlled activism and community-led activism in the HIV and AIDS movement. So I'm really asking people to stand by trans people, particularly trans kids right now. We really need everyone's help.
Jeremy, what's that website again where we can sign that petition?
transcend.org.au/campaigns.
Jeremy, great to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Jeremy Wiggins, the CEO of Transcend Australia.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.